of the healing of the lame man by Peter and John. In my NIV version, lame is actually translated as crippled. Now, crippled is actually quite an emotive word, and perhaps we don't like using it nowadays, but I think it has it speaks quite powerfully, I think. I was thinking about the people that knew this man. It was really quite obvious that, at least in one of the ways, how this man was disabled. He actually couldn't walk. He had to be carried everywhere. His ankles were obviously not strong. And it was very clear to everyone what his problem was. And then it got me thinking about what might cripple us, those things that are invisible to others, those things that are hidden, those things that other people cannot see, but which really cripple us. Now, I've got to say that it's probably resonated with me a great deal, because I was crippled for over 50 years by anxiety. I know a great deal about being paralyzed by fear. I know what it's like to be robbed of energy and time and joy. Now, don't get me wrong, I actually had great spikes of joy in my life. I'm not saying it was joyless, but the underlying soundtrack, if you like, the rhythm, the bass of my life was one of anxiety and fear. I saw life as just an endurance test. I saw it stretching out ahead of me, and I just thought, I've just got to make it somehow. And if I'm really honest, I wasn't that bothered about when it came to an end, because anxiety is pretty exhausting. And I would have continued in this way, but 5 years ago, God did something remarkable. In one glorious, incredible moment, he rescued me. He delivered me, if you like, from anxiety. And my life has been utterly transformed, and I haven't been the same since. And now I look on life as some sort of joyous adventure, and I get up in the morning, I think, oh, what's happening today? The difference is so, so marked. In the Christian life, there are no pat formulas, there are no pat answers. God deals with us as individuals. And so all we have is our own story. We can only talk about our own story. But I can testify today that the Jesus of the gospel, the Jesus who healed a lame man in the name of Jesus, I can testify that that same Jesus is alive and working powerfully in our world today. But maybe anxiety is not the thing that cripples you. It could be any number of things. It could be a huge range of things. Things that actually cripple you and hold you back and fetter you in. There could be a whole range of those things. And you will know what I'm talking about. You'll know the stuff that actually holds you back. But I just want to mention one thing. I want to mention the past. The past, our past, with all the complexities, with all of the pain, with all of the regret, with all of the trauma, we don't have to be crippled by the past. I'm not saying we have to minimize the past. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't have to deal with the things that have occurred in the past. But what I am saying is that we don't have to be crippled by the long shadow of the past, in the present nor in the future. You know, for most of my life, I was deeply, deeply ashamed of my anxiety. I saw it as a personality defect, and I certainly saw it as a huge weakness. But you know, I've come to believe that the opposite is true. Those of us who struggle every single day with whatever it is that cripples us, that we contend every day, and is continue. That takes actually great strength. It takes immense strength. And it takes real courage to keep on going. And it takes real courage to get up. We've been knocked flat. And then we have to get somehow, we have to stagger to our feet and continue and somehow. And then we keep going. And it takes courage. And then we get slapped back again. And then we have to have the courage to get up and keep going and going. Now, in my own story, I had to come to the end of myself. I know that sounds a weird sort of phrasing, but I haven't got any other words that can describe actually how it felt. As I say, five years ago, I was slapped back, having horrendous anxiety. And you know what? I was just so sick. I was just so sick of it all. I was sick of being anxious. I was sick of having to press on. I was really sick of being me. I was profoundly sick of actually being myself. And it's at that point that I had this sense of coming to the end of myself. I couldn't go any further. I had come to the end. And it was at that point that God did this incredible thing in my life. I think a lot of us bolt on faith to our lives. We absolutely genuinely say faith is the most precious thing in our life. And we say it's the most important thing in our life. And we absolutely mean it. But we live our lives as if the faith is an adjunct. We sort of get on with our life. And faith is simply an adjunct. Instead of faith is actually a radical, transformational power and energy, which actually is part of our whole life. Peter talks in this passage about faith. Now, Peter is a man who knows something about radical and transforming faith in Jesus Christ. But he tells the crowd, he says that it's because faith in the name of Jesus, the same Jesus who was crucified and rose again, and the faith that comes through him has healed this man. Faith comes through Jesus, and it's actually Jesus who enables us to have faith. So when I read those words in scripture, when I was thinking about this, what came to mind was a picture that God had given me years ago, but every so often he brings it to mind again, and it came back very strongly. And the picture is this. The Lord lays out a table for me, and it's like one of those sort of like muckle trestle table things. And on it, he spreads this immense feast. I mean, this fantastic feast of everything gorgeous that you could possibly want. And he invites me to sit down, and I do sit down. And then I take out my lunchbox and I open it and I start eating my sandwiches. And the Lord says, have some of this, have some of this feast that I've got ready for you. And I say, no thanks. I'm quite happy with my cheese and cucumber sandwiches. You know, I don't think I'm the only one that is content with so little. I think in those deep, quiet times, in those quiet times when your secret heart is laid bare and we own to the powerlessness that's in our lives. And if we're honest, we'll look around the church in a general sense, in the whole church, and we don't see much power there either. We're kind of puzzled at the discrepancy between what we read about the Christian life in the Bible and actually our lived experience. This sermon is not about feeling guilty about a lack of faith. Rather, it's an encouragement for us to take hold of those things which God is offering us and that he wants to give us. Some of you might know that Andrew and I like to go hill walking. And I think it's fair to say that almost inevitably, invariably, we get lost at some part of the walk. And it's been absolutely a godsend to have one of these sat navs that you can get on your phone. Not only has it helped our marriage quite a lot, it actually is wonderful because it can tell you exactly where you are on the map. It's the most marvelous thing. So we can see exactly where we are, so we know where we've got to go. And so it is with us. We need to know exactly where we are so we can see where we have to go. We have to acknowledge our spiritual poverty. We have to cry out with the man, the father of the demon-possessed boy in the Gospels, and we have to cry out and we have to say, Lord, I believe, help me in my unbelief. Unbelief, it sounds such a strong word, doesn't it? And it sounds quite a shocking thing if I say that many Christians, myself included, we live a lot of the time in unbelief. Now, don't get me wrong. We do believe. We do have faith. We believe in Jesus. We know Jesus. We are saved. What I'm saying is that our faith doesn't quite extend enough into the nitty-gritty everyday bits of our life. That's what I mean by living in unbelief. But if we pray that prayer, if we say, Lord, I believe, help me in my unbelief, then this Jesus of the gospel, this Jesus in whose name a lame man was healed, he will answer that prayer. The Bible teaches us to say, to ask. If we ask, then we receive, and we know that the Lord wants to give us good things. And we know also that faith is a gift. We can't generate faith. You know how hard it is. We've all tried this. You know we cannot generate faith simply by dint of will and determination. No, faith is a gift of God. And we just need to ask and receive this gift of God that comes through Jesus. And he will impart to us the richest spiritual blessings that we haven't even begun to imagine. He will enable us to live lives of faith and love and power and joy. And this isn't just for some sort of super spiritual ones. This isn't just for some people who like that sort of thing. There are no second-class Christians in the kingdom of God. This is the normal Christian life. The normal Christian life. This is for Joe Bloggs Christian. This is for me and this is for you. So in summing up here, the same Jesus of the gospel, the same Jesus in whose name a lame man was healed, is alive today, and he is working in the lives of his people and in the world. Jesus himself has said, I have come to bring you abundant life, fullness, plentiful, overflowing life. He will give us the courage to lay aside, to get rid of our lunchbox. And he will give us the courage to reach out and take hold of some of the deep things of God. And he will continue to answer our prayer. Even as we cry out, Lord, I believe, help me in my unbelief. He will continue. He will continue to answer that prayer, and he will continue to transform us into people of faith. And it'll be some journey as we go along with him and as we trust in him. I'm going to hand back to Tim now.